Thanks, Doug. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 again. If you want to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I love the songs that you guys led us in this morning. Right now I'm just thinking of the last one, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and I appreciate hearing your responses about God's faithfulness. God is faithful. I appreciate what Nancy said. You know, even though God takes us through crisis, he leads us through, helps us survive, and then he even works it all out to his good and glory. I'd like to pray and ask God for strength. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be yours. God, I thank you for this passage of Ephesians chapter 1, and I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us clearly that you are the teacher. I'm not the teacher. And so, Lord, as we read these scriptures and we really reflect what Clayton prayed this morning, that there is a great need in our world and there are terrifically difficult things happening, God, that you would prepare us, that you would make us ready, that we would be people ready to say, here am I, send me, even though it could cause fear in our soul to possibly speak up or get up or go. And God, I thank you for this incredible passage of scripture that empowers us to be able to live in you while we walk in this world. Father, I do pray that you guide us. Holy Spirit, teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a few questions that come into this passage of scripture. The first one I want you to think about very, very personally. Why did God call Abraham? This is an ongoing question. Why did God call Isaac? Why did God call Gideon? Why did God call Samuel? Why did God call Joseph? Why did God call Micah the prophet? Why did God in the flesh, Jesus, round up 12 disciples and call them? Why did God call Paul and Barnabas, and like the class this morning, Aquila and Priscilla? Why did God call all those people? Now you can answer. So the question is, has God called you? I believe God has called you. I believe God has called me. I believe that there is a call on our lives that is absolutely unmistakable. And here we are. We are the team. We are the people of God. We are the ambassadors of Christ that are to go forth in this world. No matter how you are gifted, no matter how your personality is, no matter where you are, God has called you and placed you, Acts even says he's placed you in the very house that you live in. I love that little passage, little nuggets in the scripture. How God has placed you and set you for his purpose and for his glory. The job that you have, the friends that you keep, God has placed you there on purpose. It's very important to think about that. Second question that I'd like to pose. When was the last time you faced a daunting challenge that instilled fear or worry or concern and despair in you? And let me ask you, has God placed you in a challenging situation in the past? Has God placed you in a challenging situation right now? And why are you there? Joshua, who was the man who took over after Moses died, God used Moses mightily, and then God called a young man to step up to the challenge. God called him. And by the way, when God called him, these were the words that he said to him. God speaking to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God had a call on Joshua's life. And I don't know exactly how the call is going to play out in your life, but God has a call on your life, and God has a call in my life. We're the church. We're Pioneer Bible Church. We're the people that follow Christ that meet in the building called Pioneer Bible Church. We're the ecclesia, the ones called out from the world and called to a purpose. And what is that purpose? You know, it's pretty simple, isn't it? That's it. To spread the word. Go, man, what an overused verse. Actually, it's not overused, just oversaid. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And just like to Joshua, he says, and lo, I am with you always. How long? Till the end of the earth. Well, that was a good response, man. Thank you. Till the end of the earth. So here we are. We're coming into this passage of Ephesians, and I was really excited because, Steve, your class is in Acts 18 and 19, and that's right where we find Paul. He is in Ephesus. And you guys remember what we said about Ephesus a couple of weeks ago? Man, Ephesus was a pagan community. They were following goddesses and gods. They were following patterns of sin and debauchery that was just crazy, not unlike today in our world. And God called Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, these people of God, to go in and share the gospel with people. Maybe one at a time, maybe a group at a time. That's how God calls us. He calls us one at a time, maybe a small group at a time, to be able to go in and love those people for Christ's sake. And why in the world would Paul risk his life? Why in the world would you risk your life to go and tell people about Christ? Somebody venture an answer. That is exactly right. God's called us to do it so they can go to heaven. You know, I just don't know if we're convinced that when people die without Jesus, they really, truly go to hell. So we have this battle cry. This is how I started out, Paul's battle cry. How important is a battle cry? I thought, well, maybe I'll show you some crazy little clip from a movie where, you know, like a William Wallace is out, you know, challenging the people to stand up and fight for their freedom. But Paul has a battle cry. And what we need to realize is that we are in a battle. We're in a battle. We're on a mission. We're in a battle. And there is an enemy and there is a victory. And we are on the victor's side. Praise God. But God wants us to understand that we are the called. We are the soldiers. We are the ones called to spread the gospel. So however it can work. In Paul's battle cry, there is these three big words. He says, I want you to know the hope of your calling. And then he says, I want you to know the riches of your inheritance. And then he says, I want you to know the power, they're these great adjectives, like the exceeding great power of God that is at work in you, the same power that raised up Christ from the dead. Now, let me just ramble about a battle cry for a minute. The reason a commander gives a battle cry In fact, you tell me, why would a commander give a battle cry? Why would he give a battle speech to his soldiers? What's he trying to instill?
Inspire them.
What else? Okay, so maybe he gives them instruction how to survive. Give them courage to stand in the face of the enemy. I'm convinced, as simple as these words are, the hope, the inheritance, and the power of God, that Paul knew. He says, I am praying for you that God will give you spiritual wisdom through revelation and the knowledge of Christ. That you, he says, these are the battle-strengthening words. Don't forget these things while you're living your Christian life, while you're walking this planet, while you're sharing Christ with others, that I have given you the hope of your calling. And you think, what is that? We'll get to that toward the end. But so there are these three eternal realities. And I just said to keep present in your soul as you intentionally surrender to the Christ life. I'll tell you, this life following Christ is a challenge. You are called. You are given purpose. You are given tools and gifts, hope, reward, and power. God's call, God's future reward, and His mighty power in you. So just kind of delineated these three things that you might confidently know. By the way, in the next slide, it says this word know, and it's just a very simple word. It's nothing fancy to look up the Greek word. It's called gnosko, and it has to do with knowing confidently. You know, when we know something confidently, we are much more confident in our walk. We're much more confident in our purpose. And Paul says, he says, I want you to know. I want your spiritual eyes to be enlightened. There's this Old Testament verse in Psalms chapter 118:19. It says, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things in thy law. And that's the prophet saying, open my eyes. Why? Because we tend to be shut. We tend to have our eyes shut. You know, we tend to be blinded to it. It's like, okay, if you're going to go into battle, if you're going to go into purpose, you need to know the truth about who you are. You need the truth. In our case, you need to know the truth about who God is, and you need to know the truth about who you are in Christ. So we have these things. Again, I think you even saw that next slide here, just kind of reiterating this. You need to know the reality of God, who He is, and who you are in Him. So let me just stop and just look at that for a second. God did not put you here and then just set you out by yourself to do a job for Him. He didn't abandon you. He didn't call you and then send you out to be on your own. And what we need to realize is who is God. Remember last time we talked about the source, that God is the source? Who is God? God is, remember those three omni words? God is omnipresent. What's that mean? He's everywhere present. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? All powerful. And God is omniscient. He knows all things. We need to recognize who our God is. You as a soldier, under the authority of your commanding officer, you need to know who your God is. Like Joshua, you are called into service. Like Joshua, you are called to a task. And He wants you to know that He is going to provide everything you need, and He is your everything. So we know who God is, and then we know who we are. And a few weeks ago, I gave you a little list of paper, a little sheet of paper, and it had all these things from Ephesians chapter 1, who I am in Christ. Because I am in Him, this is true about me and my relationship to Him. So on the bottom of this thing, you need to know the reality of God, who He is, and who you are in Him as you serve Him in this depraved world. You need reassurance. You need motivation, you need courage and strength and hope and resolve and purpose and endurance and fortitude. You need to be able to have those things. And if you know who He is and you know who you are in Him, you will have those kinds of things. Every day I'm stretched, I feel like. I feel like every day I am stretched to trust in God. As someone prayed earlier, what an amazing freedom we have. It's not hard to be a Christian here. Nobody's pounding on your door, threatening your life for being a Christian here in America. But every day we are faced with faith challenges, seasons of life that come and go. And there are some seasons of life that you're facing that may seem difficult. What you and I need to know, and we need to rehearse over and over again, is great is thy faithfulness. That God is faithful and he will be with you. Do any of you ever forget that? I do. I forget that God is faithful and that he can get me through everything. It's good that why Paul says over and over again, I write this thing not because you don't know it, but because you need to be reminded of it. I often need to be reminded. So Ephesians, let's read this passage of scripture and stand with me. Give us all a little change of pace here and to honor God's word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20 says, Therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the source, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. I'm going to stop and pray. God, thank you for this truth. Please help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So in Ephesians chapter 1, the verse before these verses, in verse 13, we have this little passage. This is kind of where it starts for everybody. Your initial faith practiced. Verse 13, in him you also trusted. We all understand that, right? We trusted in Jesus. It says, in him we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So that's kind of like the salvation verse. And I connected that with the hope of his calling. God has called you to put your faith and trust in him so that you have hope in the calling of Christ, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So let me just say this. The first thing in Paul's battle cry to you is, remember the hope of your calling. What happened when you were saved? What happened? Tell me. You were what? You were saved. What happened when you were saved? You were reborn. Made new. Anybody forgiven? Praise God, we were forgiven. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the first part of the battle cry. You must remember the hope of your calling. If we forget how hopeful it was that we were saved out of sin, we really have nothing to share with our neighbor. The second thing, in this second verse, it says, in whom you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of what? Our inheritance, the glorious riches of his inheritance. Where are you going when you die? You are going to heaven. You are going to be with Christ. That is our goal. When a soldier goes to battle, he needs to know why he's going. We know he knows what empowers him. What's the goal of this battle? And the Bible tells us that there is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, that God has called you and he is taking you to heaven. That's the second part of the battle cry. The last one, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. His mighty power to raise Christ is in you. I think there are many times that we face a situation where we want to speak out for Christ. We want to live for Christ. We want to follow him by faith. Let's say specifically, we want to share Christ. And we get all stirred up. We get all scared. We're not sure how it's going to go. What God wants you to remember is that the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead is in you. We need to remember that. I need to remember that. And by the way, it's not about me anyway. My job is to share Christ, love people, share Christ and why he is so important, our need for salvation, share with them so that they can have the information to choose to know the Savior. You guys have reminded me, but who does the saving when we do that? God. God does the saving. Steve's told me a dozen times, we don't save anybody. We don't. We don't save anybody. We share the gospel and they respond or not to the gospel. I know I'm going to drive you crazy, but these little booklets are out in the on the bookshelf. We need tools. I don't know how many times we've come to the place where we've said, you know, oh, I wanted to share with that person, and I just didn't know what to, what? I didn't know what to say. There are all kinds of Bible tracts out there, wonderful Bible tracts that share, that tell you how to share your faith. This little one put out by Campus Crusade, Jonathan and Sarah reintroduced this one to me. It is very simple. It is very clear. It's very descriptive. It's written with heart and love. And you just simply say to the person, can I share with you this little book that's called Would You Like to Know God Personally? I'd love to share that with you. Can I read it with you? What's the worst they can tell you? No. Okay. Well, maybe you'd like to take it then and read it. And if you already know about it, then you can give it to somebody else. Thank you, Jim. That's right. All right. Okay. Having tools to be able to share. By the way, we're buying those by the box full, and I hope we have to keep buying them. And you keep taking them. Put them in your purse. Put them in your shirt pocket. Share with people. Here's the deal, guys. The battle is raging. People are getting shot, so to speak, right in front of us. They're dying without Christ. We need to be giving this stuff out. I don't know if you're watching the news, but man, stuff's ramping up incredibly. Yep, let's go to the next slide, please. So, all disciples serve God in hostile environments. Would you agree with that? Yeah, not so hostile here, but it is true all over the place. All disciples serve God in hostile environments. Let's go to the next slide. So you remember this? This is the temple that was built right around BC AD 1, right in that series of time in Ephesus. The reason I put it back in the slides today is because I wanted to remind you where Paul was when he was writing this book. Where Paul, why he wrote this book. He was writing to the people in Ephesus. By the way, all the ruins of these things are still there in Ephesus. It's impressive. And this was written, that this was built. It's the temple to the fertility goddess Diana of the Ephesians. They said they had their bank in this building. They had their place of worship in this building. And it was like, you know, on top it didn't say, you know, e pluribus unum or one nation under God. It was to the goddess Diana. And it says all of Asia worshiped her. That's where Paul was preaching the gospel. That's where Aquila and Priscilla were preaching the gospel. It wasn't just a peaceful, nice little circle down by the river for Paul all the time. And he was here for a long season preaching the gospel. Let's go to the next slide. Sean McDowell, some of you have read some of his stuff. He is an apologist for the Bible. That means a person who defends the faith, like his dad, Josh McDowell. And Sean has become a pretty dynamic preacher. He wrote this, even though they were crucified, stoned, stabbed, dragged, skinned, and burned, every last apostle of Jesus proclaimed his resurrection until his dying breath, refusing to recant under pressure from the authorities. Therefore, their testimony is trustworthy and the resurrection is true. He's talking about the power of the resurrection and that these guys were willing to die for it. What I want to point out to you is it has always been hostile for disciples of Christ. You know, I don't know how the future is going to unfold for us, but I know this, it's not going to get better. Scripture is very clear, it's not going to get better. We need to have resolve. We need to have commitment. We need to not back down. I'm not saying don't be loving, don't be gracious, but you got to know what you believe and why you believe it. That's what the Bible's telling us. Let's go to the next slide. Now, I wrote, how can believers live confidently like this? We are called to his purpose. I have a little video clip that I'm going to show. It's not easy to watch. It is a true story that's been dramatized. The ending is just marvelous. This happened in 2015, this story. There's a group called I Commit to Pray, Voice of the Martyrs, who is a Christian group in the world, keeps regular track of situations happening around the world where people are being martyred, beaten, persecuted for their faith. If you would rather not watch it, you can close your eyes. But it's reality. Hopefully we can see this well when we, and if you make it nice and loud so we can hear the words. There are some captions. These people are in India, so they don't speak perfect English. So you'll have to read the captions. If we could, pardon me? No. No beheadings. They just beat this guy up.
Today we are celebrating the engagement of a young couple in our village. That is until this Christian returned. 4 days ago he came into our village trying to convert us, telling everyone about his Jesus. We warned him not to come back, yet here he is.
कई बार मना किया हमने कि प्रभु यीशु का प्रचार हमारे गांव में ना करे लेकिन वो मना करने के बाद भी नहीं माना और हमने उसको बहुत मार दिया ये हमें नहीं मालूम हो रहा है कि वो जीवित है या कि मर चुका है
तो आप जाइए उसको देखिए उठिए ना उठिए जाइए आप ऐसा काम क्यों किया है
Thank you.
हम लोग इनके साथ क्या करेंगे?
अगर इसका परमेश्वर सच्चा है तो इसकी मदद अवश्य करेगा और हम इसे जाने देंगे।
Sutta did recover, and 4 days after leaving our village, he came back again. Now my wife and I follow Jesus, and Sutta is our pastor. When you pray for the persecuted, please remember to also pray for those who persecute. For us, it may be the only way we will see the love of God.
I love that challenge where it says, please pray for the persecuted and pray for those who are persecuting, because sometimes it's the only way we can see the love of God. That was an amazing real story. It's amazing what God has called his people to do through the ages. Life has been very easy for me. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I had the privilege to go off to Bible school and get married and have a family and live in Somerset and preach at a wonderful church. But God is calling us to go. He's calling us to go where we are. As you go, tell the gospel. I just kind of tongue-in-cheek, I wrote this little thing here, top of this next slide. If you go to the next one for us. A snapshot of Paul's glorious ministry with its perks and blessings. That was the joke. And here's what it says. Paul says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Can you just put those 2 things together? Paul says, I have been beaten for the gospel. I have been stoned for the gospel. I've been shipwrecked and all these other things. In verse 20, it says, besides all these things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. What is he concerned about the churches for? What is he concerned about the people in the church for? You know, I mean, I don't want to be too sarcastic, but I think, you know, again, it's not that God wants me to have 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and a car that runs and all that stuff. That's not the goal. The goal is not my happiness in my career. It's that from when I come to Christ and when I die and go to be with Christ, that I have served Christ with my life. That's what he wants. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's what Paul says to Timothy when he talks about what he's concerned about in the church. He says to Timothy, Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine. That means the Bible, followed the teachings of the word. You followed my doctrine, my manner of life, the way I live, the way I trust God, the way I walk. My purpose, what was Paul's purpose? That he said, Timothy, man, you followed my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, even my persecutions, Timothy, you've understood. Persecutions and afflictions which happened to me, and then he lists these cities, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer what? That's amazing. Out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. You know, it's interesting. God delivers some people bodily and physically. He brings them back alive. Some people, like John the Baptist, again, who is said to be the greatest prophet of all, God ended his life with persecution, and he died at 34 years old or so. And God will deliver us. But where is he delivering us to? He's delivering us to a glorious inheritance that is made and been sealed for you. It's not always that God will deliver us to be happy and blessed here again. In that same passage, he goes on, he says, but you know, Timothy, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We can see that, right? We can see that happening. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. And that's the challenge for me. Jim Eggert, continue in the things that you have learned. Be resolved to the things that you have learned. That's what God's call on my life is. It doesn't depend on whether you are resolved. I am to be resolved. You are to take this personal challenge from God and say, God, I am resolved to remember and live the things that I have been taught. Remember the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And Timothy had a very faithful mom and grandma who taught him and Paul. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And let me just say that in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, my prayer is that you would have spiritual wisdom in the hope of your calling, in the knowledge of Christ. Okay? The next scripture on the next slide in Paul's deep concern for the churches is to remember all scripture is given by God, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching of the Bible, for reproof, that's getting our lives back in line, for correction, when we're in sin, God corrects us, and for instruction in righteousness, what it means to walk as a righteous person, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there is this phrase that follows a lot of these passages of Scripture, like the one in the bold letters there. It says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's the good work that God is calling us to, this calling that God has on our life. You know, we are convinced that God is going to use continually Pioneer Bible Church. We're convinced that God is going to use Pioneer Bible Church to touch people's hearts, to minister to people, to invite people to know the gospel, to be a place where people can grow up in their faith so they can learn to do this last part of this phrase, that the man of God be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, there are people in Somerset who need Jesus, do you think? Yeah. There are people on your work crew who need Jesus, right? There are people at your job. There are people in your place. There are neighbors who need Jesus. I know that it's kind of a broken record, but I think that's what we're called to do. That's why we're here. That's why God called Paul and Peter and the disciples. He didn't call them for any other purpose. The next slide. So the question is, you know, are American Christians really persecuted? I'd like to just say a word about this quickly. This was taken from Christianity Today. I'm just going to read it. Still, given the terrible persecution of Christians overseas, I wonder whether it's accurate to say that American Christians are under persecution. When I discuss the rise in anti-Christian hostility in the States, I avoid the P word, that's persecution, and I don't make comparison to other parts of the world. Why do you think? Because it's so easy here. We don't compare. But listen to a Middle Eastern underground church leader's perspective. This is what a Middle Eastern underground church pastor says of America and what's happening in regard to persecution. Quote, persecution is easier to understand when it's physical, torture, death, imprisonment. American persecution is like an advanced stage of cancer. It eats away at you, yet you cannot feel it. This is the worst kind of persecution. So that's that take from this Middle Eastern pastor who's responding to that. About Paul's prayer for believers, I wrote this, trying to summarize it. I'd like to read it. Because of the evidence of your faith and love in your lives, Paul says, I have asked God that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, as you understand the massive, dynamic truths of God given you by godly wisdom as revealed by God's word and the working of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's teaching, this wise, revealed, confident understanding of Him will transform your being and motivate courage to live for Christ. Okay? Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, and this is kind of his resolve. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It just causes me to ask, for what purpose do I live? For what purpose do you live? Paul continues in his prayer, I want you to know and understand, being saturated by the power of God at work. As a result, you will have courage given by this eternal hope, confidence because of the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints, and that literally the power that raised Jesus to life from the dead is actively pulsing in your body today. This spiritually strengthens you. This is Christ in you, namely God's hope, the riches of his glory, and the exceeding greatness of his power. I'm going to just, this time my notes were just too long. Let me just summarize it kind of, and then if you guys could come up and we're going to sing a couple songs to just consider the truth of these scriptures. You know, Jesus challenged us. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Then just following that, he said, you are the salt of the earth. Right after that, he said, you are the light of the world. And he sends his disciples out to be salt and light in the world. I just want to acknowledge that from Paul's battle cry, he wants you to know deep inside you the hope of the calling that you have. You've been forgiven. You've been indwelt. You are empowered by God. He wants you to know the incredible riches of his glory in the inheritance that's coming for you. He wants you to know that in the fight, if you take it hard, that you know there is a reward coming. And that's an inheritance that he sealed you for and he has guaranteed at the end. And then he wants you to know that you're not doing this chore alone. That you are empowered by the exceeding great power of God. The same power, I can't even grasp this, you guys. God is saying that the power, the Spirit of God power that's in us is the same that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you grasp that? I think it's going to take my whole life to grasp that truth, that that power of God is really in us. So I just want you to know, we're called. And we have this glorious hope, we have this wonderful inheritance, and we have the power of God, and he has called us to serve him with the gospel. How it's all going to play out in your life, how it's even going to all play out at Pioneer Bible Church, God is unfolding that for us right now. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about people coming to know Christ, little ones, older ones. God has given us a mission. So he says, go. And that's what we're on the mission to do, is to go. Let's sing together.
So we're going to sing this, the first song again. We're going to sing One Thing Remains. And we're going to start off by singing In Death and In Life. We're confident and we're covered by the power of his great love. And while we sing that, I want you all to understand what we're singing and what we're telling God and understand the reality that we're completely changed by God's love that he has for us, and it changes our life when we accept him into our heart. It's a powerful enough love that it's able to transform us. It's able to make us whole new people. And so, I don't know, it's awesome for me to think about that while we sing these words, because it is that all-powerful God that raised Jesus from the dead, that created this entire universe, that created every single one of us and made us all unique. And he's the one that lives inside each one of us.
In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Let's sing that again.
In debt, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
We're gonna sing that again.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
You may all be seated. Thank you so much for letting me come and worship with you guys. I appreciate all of you guys.
Good to have you. It's really fun. Really fun. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you have done such great things. Thank you for this incredible grace and mercy and love that we've just sung about. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, and we are on the team. We are in the ranks. We are soldiers for the mighty King of Kings. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be motivated by the love of Christ, by the power of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And if anybody here has not responded, you've kind of been hearing about this, and you see that you have a need, that you are a sinner and you need to be saved, and Jesus is the Savior, you need to believe him and put your faith and trust in him. And I invite you to do that now. Even come and talk to me or talk to someone here about that. God, I thank you. Please give us strength for the call and help us remember who you are and who we are in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And be praying for each other. And we'll see you next Sunday.